your word, your invitation to all. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Lord, I ask that you continue to guide this church, use this church to your glory. And as we come together today, Lord, open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to your word in your way, that we might serve you better and that the name of God might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Okay, today we had been in 2 Timothy for a while, but due to some circumstances in our nation, we're going to deviate from 2 Timothy for this Sunday, and then we'll get back to it next Sunday. But when you have what took place in Las Vegas come across your news screen, it's like the elephant in the living room. You can't pretend you didn't see it. You can't pretend it's not happening. You might want to, but you can't. And so Lord has given me something to say, and a lot of it arose out of the occurring of this past week, and not just what took place with the shooting, but all the talking heads and everybody giving their opinion of why it took place and who's to blame and on and on and on and on and on ad nauseum. And unless you listened to Christian broadcasts, I did not once hear the word sin. I did not hear call on the Lord. I heard thoughts and prayers. I heard hate. I heard all kinds of explanations for what took place. But God's got an answer for everything, y'all. God has an answer for everything, and he has that answer in this book. And he says if we would but just avail ourselves of it, we don't have to walk around in the dark scratching our heads wondering what happened. And not only do we not have to wonder about what happened, we don't have to wonder about how to fix it, how to address it. So with that being said, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. And it reads in the King James Bible, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Verse 20, "Now then," this is going to be our key verse. Verse 20 is the key verse. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we're going to talk about it's time to get right with God. It's time to get right with God. And I add to that the greatest invitation of them all. The greatest invitation of them all. Church, when we see things take place like what took place in Las Vegas, what take place across our country, and don't forget, this is worldwide, y'all. People are slaughtering people whole scale, worldwide. So when you start trying to put a tag on what's the cause, you can't just look in your neighborhood. You can't just look at your culture. You can't just look at that culture next to you. You got to look worldwide. There is a cause for this worldwide. And I'm just here to tell you, I'm going to tell you up front. When he says in verse 20, he goes, we are ambassadors We, you, me, anybody who names the name of Jesus Christ, you have a job. Nobody in the body of Christ is unemployed. Nobody. You have a job. We are ambassadors of Christ. And as ambassadors, have you guys ever seen a silent ambassador? You know, when they show the ambassadors in the UN, and then they pan, and they say, Mr. Ambassador, you have anything to say? And he says nothing. Y'all ever seen that? Come to church sometime. I'll show you some. I'll show you some silent ambassadors. I'll show you some folks who, but I'm so glad to say not all, and I'm so glad to say there's room for improvement with all. We are ambassadors. That's not your option. That's not my option. We are ambassadors, and as an ambassador, we have something to say. We have the greatest invitation of all time. We get to speak the greatest invitation of all time to a lost and dying world. That invitation is be ye reconciled to God. There is a problem internationally. It's human nature. Look in the Garden of Eden. When mankind first sinned, what did he do? He took off from God. He took off from God. Read your scriptures. God says, Adam. Y'all know it's a purely rhetorical question. Answer quick. Adam, where are you? Where are you at? Because of sin, man's nature is to hide from God. We take flight from truth. It's our nature. But as ambassadors, we get to shout out for God. And we get to tell a lost and dying world. You want to know why a man would get up in a building and just shoot people he never met before in his life randomly? They got a name for that. They call it schizophrenia. They call it this. A man walks into a club in Florida and he shoots primarily homosexual people. Well, he's homophobic. Okay. Well, a young man walks into a prayer meeting, and just guns people down. Oh, well, that's because he's racist. Could it just possibly be? It's the same sickness in all of them, and it's called sin. Is that possible? I'm just trying to get Shepherd to get beyond the nonsense down here, y'all. We got to lift our minds up. We got to look up unto Jesus. If we want to get solutions, or if we just want to keep talking round and round and round and round and round, go to your TV, and they'll help you there. But if you want to get to some solutions, you got to start talking about sin. You got to talk about people who don't want to get right with God. When was the last time you saw a mass shooting or some crazy something like that, and the guy walked to the microphone and he says, there was this devout Christian today who went berserk and killed everybody? You don't see it. You don't hear it. You don't hear it. Why? Because Jesus makes a difference, y'all. Jesus makes a difference. This invitation that we get to give, I dare say you've all been invited to birthday parties, graduations, bridal showers, weddings, baptisms, bar mitzvahs, promotion, retirement. But there's nothing like this invitation. It's unparalleled. It's matchless. It's incomparable. The invitation from God using us. See, the invitation has to come from God. See, because God is the one who was wronged in the garden, y'all. God was the one who was offended. Y'all talk about being offended. God put a man and a woman in a perfect environment. And he told him only one thing you cannot do. Just one thing you cannot do. And I'll continue to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. But there's one thing you cannot do. And you know the story. The one thing God told him not to do, they did. And guess what? God was offended. And he put them out of his garden. He says, because I can't have sin up in here with me. I can't allow sin to be up in here with me. And he put him out. But he put him out. And because he put them out, we get to see another side of God. When God put him out, we saw his judgment. God is a righteous judge. He told Adam and Eve, he said, I'm going to do it. And because he's a righteous judge, he had to do it. He said, I'm going to put you out because I'm God, I'm a righteous judge. But look at here. Here's something that Adam and Eve didn't know because it wasn't written down yet. Grace and mercy. Before he put him out, he gave him a temporary covering. An animal had to die. He shed blood and made them a coat of skins. And he put him out the garden with grace and mercy so that we can learn as time would go by more about the nature of God. We get to give the invitation to the world to come and be reconciled with God. The man in Las Vegas, the man in Florida, the man in South Carolina. Come and be reconciled to God. I don't know if y'all read the accounts of the boy who killed those people in the church in South Carolina. It was just like King Agrippa. It was just like King Agrippa. He said the people were so nice, I almost couldn't pull it off. They were so nice to me, I almost couldn't pull it off. King Agrippa said to Paul, he said, Paul gave him the gospel message. See, Paul spoke it to Agrippa. These people showed it to this young man. They showed him the love of Christ. And he said, I almost couldn't pull it off. Just like Agrippa said to Paul, he says, Paul, you almost made me a believer. And Paul said, I wish to God that it hadn't been just almost. When I look at Las Vegas, when I look at Florida, when I look at South Carolina, I wish it hadn't been almost. But I'm here to tell you, y'all, you and I, we are ambassadors. We are called to this situation. We are called for such a time as this to stand up in the marketplace and declare to the lost and dying world, be ye reconciled. Get right with God. Stop running. You're trying to hide like Adam tried to hide. How are you going to put fig leaves on you and hide from God? So many people in the church and out of the church walking around with fig leaves, thinking they're hiding from God, thinking they're pulling something over on God. And all the while, God is calling to you. He's sending ambassadors to you left and right, left and right, left and right. Come here. I love you. We know the wrath of God. Oh, man, do we know the wrath of God. Read your Bible. But do you know the love of God? So many people caught up in works-based religions, trying to work their way to heaven because they think they're going to impress God with their goodness. You and I, we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors. And the good news is the ambassador does not have to convince people of his message. He just got to tell them. Tell them what the one who sent you, tell them what the message was that the one who sent you gave you. Be ye reconciled to God. You homophobic? Come on. Be here with God. You heterophobic? Come on. You need some Jesus. You racist? Come on. You need some Jesus. You just angry. Come here. You need some Jesus. And y'all got the message. You have it in your heart. You have it. One of my brothers at the church I used to attend, he said, Milbury, He said, I was a lousy basketball player. He said, I stunk up the place every time I got on the court. He said, I couldn't shoot. I couldn't hit the hoop. If you made it 2 feet wider, I couldn't hit it. He said, but you know what? I could foul. He said, wasn't nobody coming past me. He said, and I wasn't taking one foul home. He said, I was going to give it everything I got. Church, when it comes down to giving the message of God, don't take it back home with you. Give it out. Give it out wherever you go. Give it out. Don't take it home. You already saved. Give it out. This verses 14 through 21. These break out pretty nicely into some major thought process. In verses 14 through 15, it talks about if we believe. See, because this message, this invitation, it really is based, it's quantified on whether or not you believe it. Don't you be telling somebody something you don't believe. Amen? That's not too much to ask of you. If you don't believe it, don't you tell it to anybody, because they'll spot your phoniness in a mile away. But if you believe it, verses 14 through 15, verses 16 through 19, because we believe it. Verses 16 through 19, because we believe it. And verses 20 through 21, so that they might believe it. Because that's the job of an ambassador. We're supposed to tell folks so that they might be saved. Let's go verses 14 through 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I want you to take note when you're going through your Bible. I want you to take note how many times in these few passages you see the word Christ. You see the word Christ, the anointed one. Not one of the anointed ones, the anointed one, the one that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one that God promised to Satan in the garden. He said he's going to come and he's going to get you. Christ, the anointed one. Y'all, to the Jew, he's a stumbling block. To the world, what you say about Jesus is foolishness. Understand that. Understand that before you start telling them. Understand, when you start talking about Jesus, they're going to say, man, I told you, that's a bunch of baloney. That's a bunch of old mythology. Understand that. But if you believe, he says, if you believe, the love of Christ constraineth us. Love and constrain, that's like an oxymoron. Love and constrain. I thought when you love somebody, you did everything you wanted to do. You had free will. You could do whatever you want to do. No. Paul says the love of Christ constraineth. That's what I like about the King James Bible. When he says, he doesn't say constrain. Constrain might mean a moment in time. But when he says constraineth, that means he continuously, minute after minute, hour after hour, day after day, year after year, his love is drawing us tight. He wants to keep us close to him. That's come the Bible, that's come we talk about, be ye reconciled. That means come on back. Get back closer with God. Come on back. He says the love of Christ constrains us. Paul, what do you mean, Paul, it constrains? Because of whose I am, I conduct myself different. Paul says in verse 14, because we thus judge. Yes, Christians, sometimes we got to make judgments. Sometimes we have to look at this word. He says, because we thus judge that if one died for all. Stop right there, because if you don't believe that, the gospel message of none affected you. If you believe that there's many ways to God, then this is foolishness to you. This is foolishness. And to the Jew, it's a stumbling block. But to you, it's preacher, this is, come on, let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to the going to heaven. Yeah, let's get to the good stuff. Well, we can't get to the good stuff till we get to the right stuff. We got to deal with some truth here. So Paul is saying, you judge for yourself. See how much God loves you? He don't make you believe anything. He said, you judge for yourself. You read this book and you judge for yourself. He says, if one died for all, let's understand the gospel message. If one died for all, that's what the gospel says. Paul says, then I have deduced that everybody was dead. Back up. If one died for all, then in the garden, when Adam sinned and his spirit died, because God said, you will surely die, his spirit died, he's saying, then we're all dead. So everybody who was in Adam, because of what Adam did, died or is dead. And I have evidence of that. Green Lawn Cemetery, World War II Veterans Cemetery, cemeteries all over this country, y'all. I got evidence that sin kills. I got evidence that's, because isn't it only fair that you require evidence for your case? Paul said, we have deduced that if the claim is that one died for all, then by necessity, then we're all dead. And that he, verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which should live not henceforth, that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. And another key point, rose from the dead. Now, if you believe this, if you believe this, we can proceed. But if you don't believe this, it's foolishness to you. The rest of the message is foolishness or a stumbling block to you. But he says, if one died, then by necessity, all must be dead. And then he says, so now, if this one lives for you, he goes, if this one lives for you, and now you are in him, in Christ, then guess what? As of now, you should no longer be living for yourself. Think of a single man. Think of a single man. And I use that one because I can relate to that one real good. I take it one step further. Think of a single man, a single young man with a pocket full of money. I used to have money, but we digress. That's before kids. But anyhow, think of a single man, pocket full of money, young man. He don't care about nobody, nobody. All he care about is his truck, how it looks, and how he look in his truck. That's it. Don't care about nobody, y'all. Y'all better believe me. You better believe what I'm talking about. He don't care. He's the most selfish creature ever made. Selfish. And it's not until some young lady comes along and he go, woo. For the first time in his entire existence, he starts thinking about sharing. He starts thinking about sharing. And then when they get married, Lord willing to say the same, they get married and they have children. Not only does he think about sharing, he starts thinking, one day he looks in the mirror and he says, oh my goodness, I'm grown. And he starts thinking to himself, I can't live for me anymore. I have the R word. I have responsibilities. When you become a Christian, when you become part of the body of Christ, you no longer live unto yourself. That, those days are gone. You live now that Christ might be glorified through you. Because now we are ambassadors.
We are ambassadors. When you go to a game on Friday night football in Texas, it's almost like church. Go to Friday night football in Texas. And when you look out there on the field and you see everybody in their maroon and gray and da-da-da-da-da, and then you see one guy run out in shorts and a purple sweatshirt. And you say, what's up with this? Are you on the team? Yeah, I'm on the team. No, you aren't. You don't look like the rest of the people on the team. We won't accept that because we know what the team is supposed to look like. We know what the team is supposed to do. Even if we only know a little bit about football, we know what the team is supposed to look like and we know what the team is supposed to do. That's all he's saying here. When you get on the team, when you get on Christ's team, it ain't what you think. It's not what you feel. Because I've been telling you for the last 2 weeks, it's about me and it's about them and it's about him. So now I can't live unto myself because I've got a message to give to them. And they're not going to listen to my message unless I at least look like I'm kind of on the team. He says, if we believe, and here's the last portion of it. Here's the last portion of it. In verse 16, henceforth we live unto the, let's see, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Jesus died for everybody, y'all, even the people who don't believe it. Now, there's some contention with folks of other denominations who say, no, he only died for the people who believe him. That's just not true. He died for whosoever will. And here's another one of those if. Here's another one why Paul puts the if in there. When he talks about being constrained, he talks about being, he goes, there's some parameters. When he talks about being constrained, there's some parameters, y'all. When a veterinarian goes to give medication to a cow, to an animal, they have this little cage. Now, you got this big old cow, and they kind of funnel him into this little bitty cage, and they constrain him so he can't move, so that he can get his medications, which are good for him, okay? When we become Christians, when we name the name of Christ, because of Jesus' love, we are constrained. We are constrained to not do certain things that would bring shame to our Savior. We are constrained. There are some parameters. There are some parameters. And then Paul says this, and last thing in verse 15. And he rose again. I told you when we started this conversation, there's a bunch of graveyards. A bunch of graveyards out there. And they all have somebody who used to be on this side in that grave. Guess what? Even Lazarus is still in his grave. There's only one man who's not in his grave. There's only one man who ever got up out the grave of his own volition, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Now, you don't have to believe that. You don't have to believe that. But Paul says, if you believe it, now let's move forward. But until you believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is foolishness to you. I'm not trying to tell you how to act like a good person. I'm not trying to tell you how to act like a Christian. I'm trying to get you to be a Christian so you'll be a better person. We ain't here to talk about faking and shaking. We're talking about transformation. We're talking about a changed life, a renewed mind. But you can't go past verses 14 and 15 if you don't believe that one died for all, and if you don't believe that one who died for all rose from the dead. Rose from the dead. Because if God could get his son up, if his son could get himself up out the grave, surely, when I give this invitation to somebody, I can confidently say to them, if you'll believe on the name of Jesus Christ, you too shall be saved. I get the best message in the world, y'all. That's good news. That's what the world is hungering for. That's what the world needs. They need to hear that message of the good news. All this confusion. There's one who's happy with confusion. He's the author of confusion. And that's his game. and Satan is his name. But he says, if we believe, this is the foundation for us giving out the good news. If you believe that one died for all, and if you believe that all were dead. See, because that part about all being dead, if you don't think that you are dead and lost in your sins and your trespasses, you won't think that you need Jesus. If you think you're just a little bit off base, if you think you just, I haven't murdered anybody, so I'm okay. If you believe that if you really don't know that you are dead in your sins and your trespasses, you will never call on the name of Jesus Christ. If you think that Adam just kind of swooned in the garden, if you think that Adam just kind of missed the mark a little bit, no. All of heaven and earth was turned upside down because of the sin of one man. Death, pain, sin, suffering, hunger, disease, all came because of the sin of one man. And if you believe that, we can get to the remedy, we can get to the cure of all that. And if you believe that the one man who lived, the one man who rose up from the dead, paying for your sins, if you believe that, oh, we're on our way, y'all. We're on our way. Verses 16 through 19, we talk about because we believe. Let's go 16. Wherefore, henceforth, that's one of those good old English words, saying starting here at this point, because of this, from this point on, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Know no man after the flesh. This is going to mess you up if you're a racist. I love messing up races. And by the way, that's not constrained to any particular culture, y'all. Understand that. That's a universal situation. If you're not part of my tribe, whatever my tribe happens to be, I can call you whatever I want to call you. And then you're going to call me racist, and hey, understand, know ye no man henceforth after the flesh. What you see on the outside, he said, you really can't get hung up on that, y'all. See, you get hung up on what you see on the outside, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the message of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, what's the first song most of us learned when we were children? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. See, but if you get hung up on that flesh, if you get hung up on that skin color, if you get hung up on that hair texture, if you get hung up on all these little fleshy things, you're going to miss it. And if you allow this world to taint your mind to where all you think about this little fleshy stuff, my culture, his culture, their culture, my culture, you're going to miss it. He says, from this point forward, now that you have become part of the team, now that you have become part of the family, now you got to start dealing with spiritual matters. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You mean I got to start maturing in the faith? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. He says, not only do you not talk about other folks according to the flesh, we no longer read it. He said, we no longer even think about Jesus in the flesh. Paul has seen Jesus on the Damascus Road. He was in the desert being taught. He says, even though I know Jesus, I know what he looks like. Y'all do notice there's no Kodak moments of Jesus. I know some of y'all got some pictures out there. That ain't Jesus. It ain't Jesus. I ain't going to beat you up for it today, but that ain't Jesus. He says, we don't even regard Jesus after the flesh anymore. Because we walk in the Spirit, not by sight. You start walking by sight, you get tripped up over everything. You can get tripped up. You watch CNN, you watch C-SPAN, you watch ESPN, you watch Channel 4, Channel 8, Channel 5. You will get messed up. Because all the information is after the flesh. He says, we no longer regard people, circumstances, or things after the flesh. We regard everything by walking in the Spirit. Therefore, verse 17, therefore, if any man, look at this great word of encouragement. Therefore, if any man, there you go, there's that choice again. God loves you so much, he gives you that choice. He goes, if any man, that means you, me, anybody, no matter what culture, tribe, color, anybody, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, when you're looking at the flesh, you're still looking at the old man. But he says, now this person is a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know why all things become new? Look at a little kid. Y'all just see my little, can I say my little bad granddaughter? Her mom and daddy ain't here. Okay, they ain't here today. Y'all see my little grandbaby? She bad, okay? But I marvel at how she marvels. I marvel at when she sees a book. I marvel at when she sees a statue. Because you're only 3 years old, most of this stuff is brand new to you. And you're like, wow. Man, I mean, and kids, little tape recorders, every place they go, they're, wow, woo. And you're like, they get fixated on an ant. How many times have I seen an ant and stepped on them? They'll be walking and they'll stop. And they go, wow, papa! See, when you're born again, everything becomes new. Everything, all things are passed away. I don't look at stuff the way I used to look at it, y'all. I can't look at folks of different cultures the way I used to. Y'all forgive me, but I can't do it. I can't do it because I'm a new creature in Christ. And he's commanding me. He says, get a Christ perspective. He said, get a Christ perspective for God's sake so that we might be ambassadors. So people won't have to guess what team we on. All things passed away. Behold, I like that. Wow, behold. Man. One of my old preachers, he ain't old. He's only a couple years older than me. He's middle-aged. Amen. Amen, he's middle-aged. I remember him standing there one day, and he's a black man after the flesh. But he was explaining to the class, because at the church I used to go to, there was a, you know, he didn't talk about country music and stuff. He said, man, he said, I don't listen to folks like that. He said, my grandma used to put on the Grand Ole Opry on Saturday morning. He said, and she told me, as long as they sing about Jesus, I'm going to listen to it. It had a lot of twang to it. He said, but it had Jesus in it, and I was all over it. See, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, old stuff becomes old stuff, and you ain't got no use for it. It's ready for the dumpster. Take some of those old thoughts that you had about this person and this culture and that culture, because your mind is too narrow. Behold, you can have the mind of Christ. And when you do, everything is new. Because he renews your thoughts. He makes us look at the same circumstances from a different perspective. That's what God does. That's what God does. He makes you look at the same stuff, but from a different perspective. On Saturday night, some of us couldn't wait to go act a fool. And we were proud of it, y'all. We were proud of it. And we were going to go. We planned our sin. We didn't stumble into sin. We sat up all day Friday at work talking about, guess what I'm going to do tomorrow night? We planned our sin. And then come Saturday, we was ripe to go act a fool. But now, when you become part of the body of Christ, when you become a new creature, somebody say, hey, we're working on the church Saturday morning. Can you come on and help do some work? Yeah, I'll be there. Hey, we got Sunday school going Sunday morning. Okay, see, now, when you was the old creature, you barely think about sliding in the back pew closer to invitation time just so you could tell your mama you made it to church. But now you actually want to be at church on a Sunday when there's football, when there's sleep to be had. Because you're a new creature in Christ. Behold, old things are passed away. All things have become new. You have taken on a Christ perspective. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given you, he has given me a ministry. People say, well, Pastor, what's my ministry? Take a look. He has given you and he has given me the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation? It's that great invitation. We get to give people the invitation to be restored to God, to be restored in the body of Christ. A brother over in over at Pleasant View Baptist Church, he started a restoration ministry. And in this restoration ministry that the Lord allowed him to start, he goes out and he picks up troubled youths, and especially troubled teenage boys specifically. And he has people donate old cars, old raggedy, good for nothing cars. You know, when somebody give you a car, you're just pretty much on his last legs. Amen. They sell them by the weight. Okay. Sell them for scrap metal. But he goes and he gets them and he eagerly gets them. And then he brings those boys in and he says, take a look at this. This, in the common vernacular, is a piece of junk. You, according to folks out here, are a piece of junk. He said, but guess what? Just like you and I are going to put our hands to this plow, and we're going to take this car, and we're going to take this piece of junk, and we're going to pull a part off of here and pull a part off of there and take a dent out of here, take a dent out of there, put a knot over there, and spray it with some paint. He said, when we get done, people are going to go, woo. He said, guess what? You put your hand, you put your life in the hands of the master. You let Jesus make a little dent here, take a little bump out there, and let him spray you with some love, and woo. People look at you and go, man, I don't know what happened, but something changed. But all this is predicated on if you believe that you were dead, one lived, and he died and rose from the dead. It's all predicated on that, y'all. If you start with that, start with the Bible, you start there, then you can move on. But until you get over that stumbling block, until you get over that foolishness, it makes no sense to you. But if you can grab a hold to that, if you can let your mind go enough to where God can infiltrate your mind with the gospel, old things will pass away, and behold, all will become new. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's the restoration to divine favor. For the people who have gotten out of God's favor, they're out of God's will, they're out of God's path. God said, I have a plan for your life, and I mean good for your life and not evil for your life. But you've gotten off the way. You got off track. Somewhere you got lost along the way. Need to be restored. And you and I have been given the message to invite folks to be back, to be reconciled and restored. Now, some folks you got to bring kicking and screaming. Because once we get used to sin and we've embraced sin, it's painful to give it up, y'all. It's painful to give it up. But last time I checked, when you go under the knife to get cancer removed, it's painful. But the benefits, oh, the benefits, long-lasting, long-term benefits. See, we keep looking at, as Christian folks, we keep looking at what I got to give up. Oh, I can't do this no more. I can't do that no more. I can't do this no more. I can't do that no more. You don't ever stop to think about what you're gaining. You don't ever stop to think about the peace that surpasses understanding. That's a promise. That's a promise from God. When you become a new creature, he says, I give it to you. How much? I'm giving it. I paid for it. Here you go. I paid for it. Amen. He says in verse 17, turn to Romans 3:25. Turn to Romans 3:25. In verse 18, he says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." There's that name. There's that name again, Jesus Christ. "And hath given us the ministry of reconciliation." Romans 3:25. As we move along. Romans 3:25. "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." That word, propitiation, real big Christian word, propitiation. What in the world is propitiation? As basic as I can understand it, y'all. See, and don't forget, when he talks about being reconciled, and when he talks about the propitiation, I told you that God was the one who was sinned against in the garden. Adam sinned against God. Eve sinned against God. Under the natural man's circumstances, even in a court of law, when you go to court of law and the judge says, "Okay, you stole your neighbor's lawnmower out of his garage. Now you have got to repay your neighbor for stealing his lawnmower out of his yard." That's propitiation, what you have to pay to get things right between you and your neighbor. Makes sense, right? Your neighbor stole your lawnmower. He better pay me for my lawnmower. He better replace it. I'm taking it to the judge. But here, over here with our text here today in Romans, we have a picture of a different kind of judge. We got a picture of God. Told you, Adam sinned against God in the garden. But the Bible says that God made the propitiation. Here's what took place. Adam stole God's lawnmower. And God said, "Adam, I got you covered. Come on, let's be friends." And Adam is scratching his head saying, I stole his lawnmower. Why would he do that? Because I love you. When God sent his son to die for you and me, we're the ones who brought sin into the world. We're the sinners. And God made a propitiation out of his son, Jesus. He made a peace offering out of his son, Jesus. And he says, "Here, Bob. Here, Sally. Here, Jesse. Here, Willie. Here." We're far apart right now. We're so far apart. You on the run. You running, I'm chasing. Here. Stop for a minute. Take a look. See, that's where the ambassador comes in. The ambassador, "Hey!" You know, you got those alerts that you see on the when you're driving down the street. Amber alert. That means a little child is lost. Blue alert. That means there's been a shooting and somebody has shot a police officer. Silver alert. That means somebody's senior citizen got lost along the way. You're an ambassador for Christ. Sinner alert. You're lost and God's looking for you. And I got an invitation for you to come back. Oh, man. That's love, y'all. That's love. He says, "Come back to me." God provides the propitiation. He said, "You did me wrong, but I'm going to have my son pay the penalty. And all you got to do is say thank you." That's all you have to do is say thank you. And oh, by the way, when you say thank you, would you do one more thing? I know I said that's all you got to do, but I want you to do one more thing. I want you to become an ambassador for me. I want you to tell folks what I did for you. I want you to tell folks about that love, that peace, that joy, that happiness, that calm that I gave you. I want you to tell them about that. And I want you to tell them how much you paid for it. It was a gift. It's called the gift of eternal life. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation, imputing their trespasses. God said, you have sinned against me. You are guilty as guilty can be. He said, but because of my son, if you believe that my son came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for your sins, I will not impute that. I will not put that on your record. You will, I forget the term that they give it when you pay them enough money and they take that stuff off your record. One of y'all law, I don't know what it is, but they, you know, when you're a kid, when you're juvenile and you're right, you wreck somebody's car, and but they, adjudication, is that it? Yeah, they just wipe it out. They just wipe it out. And it's like it never happened. And God says, when you accept Jesus Christ, I will not impute not only what you've already done, but what you're doing and what you might do. I will not impute it to your account. I give you some clean slate. And behold, all things become new, because you're a new creature in Christ. He does these things. He says, if we believe that Jesus came, if we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that's how we move on to, because we believe, now there's a changed life. Because you believe, there just ought to be a change. Stop saying, I can't. Start saying, if the Lord wills, and watch him work. Stop trying to handicap and handcuff God. I'm talking about, I can't. No, you just haven't yet. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the faith that works in you. So stop saying, I can't. Now, verse 20, key verse. Now, when you see that in scripture, that designates, at this point, there's a change. Now, there's something supposed to take a change here. He goes, now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. That is the greatest invitation of them all. You've had some wedding invitations that you said, let me see, how much is this going to cost me? And you say, I'm not going to go. You've had some baby showers. You said, that's her fifth baby. I'm not going to go. You've had some other showers. You've had some other invitations. And you weigh the invitations. You say, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to go to that one. But you know what? Don't miss this one. Don't you dare miss this one. This is the greatest invitation of all time. It's the greatest invitation. God said, the door is open. The door is open from me to you. Come on in. Well, under what basis can I go and face the creator of all heaven and earth? Under what basis? I can't even walk into my senator's office without somebody saying, whoa, stop there. But the creator of all time has said to you, and he said to me, come, come, be ye reconciled to God. Some folks are under a lot of pressure, y'all. And when your mind's not right, when you're not seeing things from a Christ perspective, you don't think well. You don't see things through. But you want to know the answer to what's going on in our nation and this world? Folks need Jesus. It's not deep. They need Jesus, and Jesus needs you to be an ambassador. He desires for you to be an ambassador and let folks know they can be reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You sing Christ's name all through this scripture, all through these texts. And when he's talking about it, he says, for he hath made him, he's talking about Jesus, to be sin for us. Jesus was sinless, without sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Last verse I want you to write down. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. See, because we want those who are the children of Abraham, who don't know Jesus and the pardon of their sins, we want them to know that this is the one that God promised to them first and then to the Gentiles. But here in Isaiah, he speaks of the one who was to come, and it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins, our wrongdoings. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Church, don't miss this. This is a message for not just America, but for the entire world. The problem of mankind, no matter who they are, no matter what nation, no matter what nationality, the problem is they're out of relationship. They're out of fellowship with God, the creator of all the ends of the earth. And God has said to you, and he has said to me, we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And we have, don't fool yourself. Ali said he was the greatest of all time. But don't you fool yourself. We have the greatest invitation of all time. We need to be on the mountaintops. We'd be on TV, on the radio, or stand on top of your car. You need to be say to the entire world, come, be ye reconciled to God. God bless you.